Good morning, everyone, on this beautiful December the 17th, I believe. 16th already. And our message today, for those who may be listening on the internet, as well as those who are present here in this facility, is Bethlehem, the house of bread. I do want to emphasize bread, bread, bread today, because the type of bread that we eat spiritually is going to determine where we go eternally. And the Bible is very clear about speaking of Jesus as the bread of life. And I really want to emphasize that here today. There's no mistake what God has done here through Jesus Christ and his efforts to save man and to bring us back into fellowship of what Adam lost through his disobedience and sin. So Adam messed up. We lost it all. We lost life. Death reigned through his disobedience. But now we have Jesus Christ, who came at a point in time in this earth to offer himself a ransom and a savior to mankind. So good morning, Mike. Good to see you, man. God bless you. So if you would please turn with me to, let's set the tone here in Luke chapter 2 about the birth of Jesus. And look at some things here, what it says so profoundly about what he came to do and who he was and what we need to do. In Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1, regarding our message today, and I title it Bethlehem, the House of Bread. It came about, and whenever I see that, I always get excited about when it says it came about, because God has appointed time for everything. He had an appointed time for Jesus to come to this earth, and an appointed mission for him to accomplish. But here it comes about in appointed time in those days, Luke chapter 2, verse 1, that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And I want to say the governments of the world are not in control of what God does or what he doesn't do. Our president or the president of France or Russia or Germany or what's going on in the Middle East, mankind on this earth are used to accomplish God's purpose, but they're not in control of what God does or what God does not do. And so when it says that a census was taken by Caesar, it wasn't like, oh, Caesar says, I got a good idea, let's take a census for tax purposes, which is what it was for. It was God's timing that a census be taken because people had returned to their place of their homeland. They had to return to their lineage there, their homeland of lineage, and to report for a census for tax purposes. So this is all orchestrated by God, and God using man to accomplish his purpose. So Caesar wasn't controlled here. God was. And so this is the first census taken, verse 2, while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. David's lineage and heritage was from Bethlehem. And so that's why Joseph, not the earthly father of Jesus, but the husband of Mary, a virgin at this time, they proceeded to go to Bethlehem because that was their place of heritage, and that's where they were from. But anyhow, they had to go from Nazareth to there. But this is amazing because Bethlehem, 5 miles south of Jerusalem, that's where Samuel anointed David to replace Saul as king. So here you have this kingship that Jesus was born out of, He was a house of David. He was from the root of David. And so you have Jesus coming to Bethlehem as king, but right now as a baby. So there's a purpose for this. Once again, God in control, not man. And so in verse 4, here we have Bethlehem. And why Bethlehem? Why do you think Bethlehem? Because it was prophesied. Micah 5:2, about 700 years before Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem, in this particular place in Bethlehem, Micah said, over 700 years, and approximately 700 years before this, he says, "As for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler of Israel." His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And so Jesus is so important to understand. A lot of people may think, because of what they've been taught, that Jesus began to exist right here in Bethlehem as a baby. But his goings forth, it says in Micah, were from eternity. And John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning." John 1. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so Jesus was with the Father in the beginning, even the creation of the world. Now it might be mind-boggling to understand that, but once again, by faith, we accept the truth. Because it is true. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So Micah says that Jesus was from the beginning, from eternity. And so this is so powerful in understanding, to whatever degree we can understand it, that Jesus, God incarnate, God in the flesh, would humble himself to be born into this world through man. To be beat upon, to be spit on, to be ridiculed, and to be all those things that they did to him, to even to be born into this world of iniquity and the blackness of the hearts of men, to humble himself, to be born, to live as God-man in order to save man on this earth. I mean, that's, you might say, gee, I don't know in our mind whether we would do that or not. But God looked way beyond our iniquities and our faults to go ahead with this plan for Jesus, his son, to be born in this world to save us. And boy, don't you know, we need to be saved. It's just incredible what God has done here. Orchestrated by God, not man. Man didn't have anything to do with it. And so it goes on in verse 5 and says, after verse 4, that he was born of the house of David in Bethlehem. In order to register, verse 5, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child and yet was a virgin. Now that blows many of the people who, in their carnality, they can't comprehend how can a virgin be pregnant. And so that's another discussion I guess you can spend hours on, but by faith it's simple to believe that God was the one that put the seed in Mary, the seed of Christ, Jesus, to be born and to have that baby. And Joseph may have went through some things in the beginning with that, and he wanted to take her away and hide her, but he was told by an angel that the seed within her, within Mary his wife, was from the Lord. And receiving that from the angel of the Lord, he believed it. So, It says in verse 6, and it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes. The King James Version says swaddling clothes. In other words, there was a custom to wrap the children. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Bethlehem literally means, and we have just, I know we've shared this in the past, Bethlehem means house of bread. So there's no mistake that Jesus was born in a city that was literally called the house of bread. And now they place him, not because they decided to put him in a manger and there's no room for them in the inn, but here they come directed by the Spirit of God and place Jesus in a manger. I know what mangers are. I lived on a farm in Ohio and I fed the cattle and I put hay in the manger. And the cows came up and ate the hay out of the manger. I did that every morning and every night. I fed the cattle in the winter. In the summer they ate and grazed in the fields. But in the winter I had to feed them and I put feed in the manger. I put hay in the manger and they ate out of the manger. And so they placed Jesus into a manger, literally meaning to go along with house of bread into a feeding trough. Literally, that's what it means. A feeding trough. So here Jesus from the beginning, I said I was going to mention a lot about the bread today, the bread of life. Jesus, and we're going to share that, but here God says, you're all messed up, Adam messed up, Adam blew it, Adam caused sin to reign over the entire earth. Adam really messed up, but I love you so much, I'm going to bring you the second Adam. I'm going to bring you my son to get this all straightened out again so that you can have eternal life that he lost. And so here he comes and places Jesus, directed by God. They place him in a manger, in a feeding trough for the world to eat if they want. Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, Jesus says you have no part of me. So here God places Jesus into a feeding trough for the world to eat if they want to live. Don't have to. We're talking spiritually now. You eat Jesus, you live. You don't eat, you die. God is merciful. He's extending his mercy. He's saying, if you want life, all you got to do is eat of Jesus. And this is so powerful because what? What else is implied here? He's in the feeding trough. If you want life, you eat. If you don't, you don't have to. You got a free will. What's implied here is we have a free will. You have a choice. You don't have to. Do not have to partake of Jesus Christ and what he offers, bread for eternal life. Now, I want to read to you the lyrics of this song that some of us who are a little bit older probably remember because I can hear them singing it. I can hear Blood, Sweat, and Tears singing this song. I heard it many times, but a lot of times when I was listening to this music, a lot of times I heard the music and the beat, and I heard some of the words. I remember some of the words, but I didn't pay particular attention to go home and commit it to memory. But Blood, Sweat, and Tears had a song that was called When I Die. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this now in light of what I just said about Jesus being the bread of life, placed in a feeding trough. It says, here's the lyrics to the song that was performed by Blood, Sweat, and Tears, When I Die. I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care. If it's peace you find in dying, well then, let the time be near. If it's peace you find in dying, and if dying time is here, just bundle up my coffin, cause it's cold way down there. I hear that it's cold way down there. Yeah, crazy cold way down there. And when I die and when I'm gone, there'll be one child born in the world to carry on, to carry on. Now, troubles are many. They're as deep as a well. I can swear. Listen to this. This is so powerful. I remember hearing it then. And I said, wow, this guy's messed up. I can swear there ain't no heaven, but I pray there ain't no hell. Shirley and I were talking about this, and Shirley said, you know, Mark, he's really hoping there ain't no hell. He's really hoping there ain't no hell. Because if he's praying, he ain't praying to God about, God, make there be no hell. He's hoping there ain't no hell. I swear there ain't no heaven, but I pray there ain't no hell. Swear there ain't no heaven, and I pray there ain't no hell. But I'll never know by living, only my dying will tell. I just said to you that Jesus was placed into a feeding trough in Bethlehem, into a manger, a feeding trough. You eat, you live, you don't, you die. And he says, I'll never know by living, only my dying will tell where I'm going. You absolutely better believe you will find out the moment that your spirit is giving up. You will find out where your destiny is in that moment. A man who worked for me had been around places in the hood where gunshots are frequently fired. Things happen. And he told me one time he saw a man get shot, and he saw him. He saw him breathe his last breath. Now, I have seen people breathe their last breath in the hospital and just, that's it. And he said he saw this man breathe his last after being shot. And he, that's it. This body dies, it decays, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But when you're born of a woman, when you're born in this world, you will never die. Even though the body, you will never die. Your body, your spirit will go on either to have an inhabited form of some kind, to be in hell forever, to experience hell forever, or it will have the new body that God very descriptively tells that we will have to live with Him forever. And so, blood, sweat, and tears, the writer of this song said, I'll never know by living, only my dying will tell. I can know while I'm alive. I can know what by living today, my destiny. Because my assurance is tied with believing Jesus Christ to be the bread of life. And I'm going to eat of Him, so to speak. Eat of that child that was born in that manger over 2,000 years ago, eat of Him the bread of life that I may have life, because we will see the scriptures that tell us most assuredly we will live forever if we eat of Him. So while we're alive, how miserable we can be as Christians. I don't know. Somebody asked you, are you sure you're going to heaven? Most assuredly in Jesus Christ, not because of my righteousness or the works that I have done, but because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've been washed and cleansed in His blood. He's received me as His Lord. He's forgiven me. I am on my way to heaven. The Bible explicitly says so. I mean, that's hope that you can count on. Not guess, not maybe. I'll find out when I die. When people ask me, where are you going to go when you die? I said, I'm going to heaven. I don't have to hesitate. I don't have to waver. Wouldn't it be hellish to say, I don't really know. I love Jesus. I'm trying to walk, but I don't really know where I'm going. It might be heaven. It might be hell. How hellish can that be? To have that in your mind, not knowing where you're going. Well, that's what Jesus is all about. And that's what this Bethlehem birth is all about. He came to have mercy upon us. And all those people that are mourning their children right now. I mean, they're just devastated. 20 children dead. 7 adults, the killer. And I believe there's one child wounded that survived it. I think that's what I heard. Not too many survived. And he says, I'll never know by living, only dying will tell. Give me, this is what he wants, give me my freedom for as long as I be. All I ask of living is to have no chains on me. Mm-hmm. See, people believe that if you eat of Jesus, the bread of life, you're going to have restrictions. You're going to have chains. You're going to have curfews. You're going to have rules and regulations of what you can and can't do anymore. So don't put those chains on me. When I die, I'll find out. All I ask of living is to have no chains on me. All I ask of dying is to go naturally. Here I go. Listen, this is so powerful. Here I go. Hey, hey. Here comes the devil. Right behind. Look out, children. Here he comes. Here he comes. Don't want to go by the devil. Don't want to go by demon. Don't want to go by Satan. Don't want to die uneasy. Just let me go naturally. And when I die, when I'm dead, dead and gone, there'll be one child born in our world to carry on, to carry on. Wow. These guys need Jesus. We hear so many, these are lyrics back in the 60s. We hear so many lyrics today that are, you couldn't even repeat them and sharing with you. And you know what I mean. They're just profoundly gross and grotesque and abominable. So here we have people in the world today who do believe this way. I'll find out when I get there. And Shirley met somebody on a plane one time, my wife, and she was discussing with them about do they know where they're going when they die. And they, I forget, Unitarian Universalist Church, I believe. And they said, well, no, we'll just find out when we get there. How sad. See, God has not arranged it that way for us to find out when you get there. He wants you to know now. He said, I go prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, being who I am, so to speak, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, you, who is you? Who are the yous? Who is he talking to? Me. Shout it from the rooftops. He's talking about me. If I go to prepare a place for Mark, I will come again and receive Mark into myself. You know what that all results in, knowing that? Hope, yes. Confidence. We're not to hide behind a rock. We're not to go crawl behind some obscure place and not be heard in this world. I'm praying for God to really raise up an army. And Shirley and I have been talking about it. An army within the world. An army of Christians who have a voice empowered and amplified by the Spirit of God to stand up and be counted as His child. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Yeah, you know I love you. He says, well, by the way, you know, you say you're willing to die with me and do all these things, but before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And it's almost like we'll wait and see. I don't know about that, Lord. I'm not so sure about that, but the Lord knows what He's talking about. So, did we not see you with Him? No! Did we not see it? Weren't you with... No, no! And the third time, this rooster crows. Roosters crow all over the Middle East. Roosters crowed on our farm in Ohio. Roosters crowed on everybody else's farm in Ohio. Roosters crow in Russia. Roosters crow in China. But there was no rooster like this rooster on that day that crowed when he denied the Lord 3 times. That must have been like a 40-foot spirit went right through his heart. And he must have truly, truly felt that. Because he denied in that moment that he knew the bread of life. This child that was born any time is no longer, not 33 years old now talking to him. No rooster crowed like that rooster crowed in that moment. And I can imagine the people who believe like the blood, sweat, and tears people singing that song. I'll find out when I die. I can imagine maybe there will be a mighty rooster crowing for the last breath of an unbelieving soul. Perhaps it'll be a rooster crowing. I'm just saying that. I doubt it. I'm just saying. But man, wouldn't that pierce your heart, knowing you denied the bread of life and you could have lived. Now this is powerful. Knowing that you could have lived, but you denied it, and you, out of your own free will, not God, not bad God, why did God do all this with the killing of His children and all this? Why does God do all this? Man is reaping what he has sown. Satan enters into the heart of a person and presents an evil venue. An evil thing that he wants to do, for whatever reason, it is evil. It is not good. It is not from God. God did not cause that. God, get out of school. God, get out of school. Out, out, out. And so now they want God on the back end. Why did God do this? Yet God is still merciful. He sees that ignorance in man. He sees them wanting to kick him out, but God sees the ignorance. Does anybody in here want to find out when you die where you're going? I mean, at that time. I'd like to know now. I'd like to know what the Bible says about that now. Do you believe that Jesus meant what he said when he said, I go to prepare a place for you? If it weren't so, I would have told you, and if I go to prepare a place, I will come and receive you to myself. And all of the elaborate in Corinthians, it talks about our bodies. Natural body, there's going to be a natural body, there's going to be a spiritual body. There are heavenly bodies, there's also going to be a heavenly body for us. He goes into great detail about that. It says we will be like the angels. God has a plan. He had a plan from the beginning. It's just that over 2,000 years ago, here comes Jesus to the earth to be the redeemer of mankind, to shed his blood, to be whipped, abused, and pluck his beard and spit on him. And the way they crucified him was beyond brutality, which the Romans were good at. Brutal, brutal, brutal. And he didn't do a thing wrong. We do things wrong. We lie. We do all kinds of things. We know that. But Jesus was the purity, the pure representation of God incarnate in the flesh. He did no wrong. And yet, crucify him. Crucify him. And that was the forces of evil also. Wow. In verse 8, of Luke 2, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Can you imagine? Day after day, night after night, out there with their sheep, but this night was different. The glory of God's all around, and this angel appears. They were terrified. They were frightened. And the angel said to them, always when the angel God appears in a situation like this to give a message, he'll always say, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Anybody can eat of Jesus. I bring him. They lay him in a feeding trough. You eat. You live, you don't, you die. How many of you know that if you eat today, it will sustain you to live? In the natural. How many of you, I don't know, if medically it can probably be proven about how long you can go without eating. You can go a few days, but you will die. We understand all that. But people miss the spiritual implications. If you eat of Jesus, you live. If you don't, you die. Well, that doesn't matter. I'll find out when I die. I don't really concerned right now what the Bible says, because it just seems like if I give my heart to Jesus, got all these restrictions. How about freedoms? How about free from worry? Free from doubt? How about free from envy? How about free from vain imaginations? How about free from murderous thoughts? How about free from the past and what everybody's done to you? How about free from, you know, worries about tomorrow? How about freedom, freedom, freedom? And Jesus said, it was for freedom that I set you free. I see freedom, not restrictions, when I come to Jesus Christ. Freedoms. And the freedoms in the world will get you nowhere. But what? Death. The long black train is the country song called The Long Black Train. Get on it and it will take you to a long, black eternity. Darkness is the absence of light. The Lord won't be there in eternal hell. There won't be any light. Do not be afraid, the angel says in verse 10, I bring you good news, a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, that is born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. City of David, Bethlehem. And this shall be a sign for you, shall find a baby wrapped in clothes, King James says swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. A whole multitude of the heavenly host of angels appeared with that angel when he was speaking to those shepherds. And doesn't say how many. It says what? And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, what? What's in that feeding trough? What's it represent? P-E-A-C-E, peace. It says, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Peace among men. Jesus, being born through the Virgin Mary, is among men now. He is with us. Emmanuel means God with us. He's with us. He's conceived by the Spirit of God. Here he is, born of Mary and in Bethlehem. And here he is with us now as bread to eat and live. Emmanuel, God with us. That my mind can't go there, but I believe it. How merciful God is. And it came about, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. How about you? I mean, Brian, if you and I are out taking care of some sheep and these angels appeared to us and told us what was going to happen, and the heavenly host of angels around us glorifying God and praising God, saying, you know, to this day in Bethlehem, you're going to find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Wouldn't you want to go case that out and go check it out? Because the angels were telling, go check it out. It's just, I would want to probably run as fast as I could to see this marvelous thing, this miracle. Today, when you mention Jesus, he can give you eternal life. And you just keep hitting your head against the wall, just bang, 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 just trying to do it yourself. And you just say, well, I hear about Jesus, but I can figure this out. I would want to go find out what this is all about. But some people just don't care to check it out. They came in haste, it says. Well, here we go. Verse 16, they did come in haste. They did run. And found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger, the feeding trough. Just like what the angels who represented the voice of God said. Angels are ministering spirits. They've been sent by God to minister to us. They can manifest themselves in any way they want. They can appear, they can disappear. They're beings that God created. We will see them one day. I believe that with all my heart. It says in verse 17, and when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. So they were telling what the angels told them, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God. They had an experience. They had an encounter. I've never had an encounter that way. Have any of you? Has the host of heaven ever appeared into your bedroom or your home or anyone and just you saw them? You experienced them? Shirley?
I did.
And what was your experience?
The Lord called me before him to I went to the bedroom and I didn't know what he was going to do, but at one point, I just knew to stand up, and he gave me a vision of a baby. And he was showing me that I conceived with our first child, Zechashem. And there was, I saw a host, I mean myriads of angels worshiping God at the announcement of the conception of this child. And I just stood there like, Lord, I don't want to make any assumptions. But I saw him. I mean, he was announcing this child.
People have had experiences with the angels of God and what they had brought to them. I have not. Shirley has, and I can't say because she has, and I share that experience. That was her experience. But you know what? I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. And so we don't go looking for angels as a substitute for looking to Jesus. We look to Jesus, and He'll take care of the angels. Look to Jesus, and He'll take care of the manifestations in your life. Look to Jesus, and He'll connect the dots for you in your life. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, the heavenly bread. And so it's so powerful. They had an experience. They went back rejoicing. No one could ever cut it out of their hearts. Man didn't give it to them. Man couldn't take it away. What a mighty God we serve. I'm just touching on some things here today about this great thing that took place. This great A-D-V-E-N-T, this great advent that took place in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. But I want us to understand that the bread, we're going to talk about this later, but for today I want to share something else with you, and then we're going to close. But I want to share something with you about Jesus once again. Please understand that He was with the Father in the beginning, before He came to be born through the Virgin Mary. He had to become man to identify with us, to be crucified, to shed His blood, to give His life, that we may believe in that and have eternal life. I want to share something with you today that Oswald Chambers said about His birth and our new birth. About His birth and our new birth. I've been alluding to that the whole time here. If you eat of Jesus, the bread of life, you live. If you don't, you die. So today, if you hear His voice, the world, anyone hearing His voice, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. It's a day that is called today. That's all we have. And I want to say this before I read this about the importance of today. A week ago last Friday, we were working on an irrigation control. There's a lady that lives right there, right next to the control. I said, "Hi, Janet, how you doing?" She said, "Hey, fine." I said, "The electrician, myself, and David with me, we'd like to have one of your cars," because she's a travel agent. "Like to have one of your cards." So she gave me a card. He had goosebumps. Do you know about her?
She's our friend.
Oh, yes.
She was our friend.
We just went to her yesterday to her wake.
See, I get goosebumps before. You never know how things are connected. See her all the time. Say hi to her and Lee. And Lee comes up. He's walking. He's going on walks every day. Here he comes. I love that guy. He just. Hey, Lee, how you doing, man? Okay, waved his hand and went off. We were working, and I was on a piece of equipment. Went in the house. Another person over here tells me that the Janet that gave us our business cards, he says, "By the way, Janet passed away this morning at 3:30. That was Monday. We just saw her Friday." I said, "I just said hi to Lee. He went into his house." He says, "He knew you didn't know it. But Janet passed away. Fell down the stairs and broke 3 ribs that they know of. Took her to the hospital. They had her stabilized. My understanding, Lee went home. And they said, you need to come back." And she was gone. She was 62. It's amazing that what a small world. I've seen them for years. I expected the following Mondays, "Hey, Janet. Hey, Lee. Hey, Janet. Hey, Lee. Hey, Janet. Hey, Lee." You know, not like Groundhog Day, but a new day. They're living. Everybody's, you know. But you never know. I didn't know that's the last time I'd see Janet. So you went to her service.
Her wake. It's private service.
Because I know the obituary in the paper was very short, which it's okay. It doesn't have to be big old long, very short. And that, but what I understand that she really loved people and that she was always trying to help somebody else. I mean, everybody said that.
It's true.
Said she really was a caring person. And so I went over, all three of us, David and Bruce and I said, we've got to go see Lee. So we walked up to his door, and one of the people that lived there, Lou Ann, came out and said, well, he just went up and took a shower. So I was talking to her outside, and then I saw him inside the door. I said, there he is. And so I embraced him and said, Lee, I had no idea when I said hello to you that your wife passed away. He said, I know that. And so David and Bruce and I were all there giving our condolences. I said, she just gave us all business card last Friday. And when I told the electrician that one-on-one too, because he was thinking about taking a trip up the Danube and seeing the different countries and all, he says, no. I said, yeah. The lady that gave you a card passed away. So you never know. So today is the day of salvation. Let's just say you're a Christian and you mess up sometimes. You think that all of a sudden God's going to send you to hell. Just because you're a Christian and you mess up doesn't mean God is going to send you to hell because you mess up with this great big giant fly swatter and just squish you to smithereens, because he can do it anytime he wants. But because of the grace of God, a righteous man may fall seven times, but he rises again. But those that have an iniquitous heart, that are not under that covering, you know, they do not rise. They fall. And they stay fallen. But you never know. It's amazing to me that you guys knew who I'm talking about. How can we know who we know, huh? My heart goes out to the family. Precious Lee. We'll see him again. And my heart goes out to them. You know what? I'm gonna read this next week. It's so powerful, but today, I hope we, as believers, understand God is not out to seek to kill, steal, and to destroy the world, but there is one who is. Satan is out to kill, steal, and to destroy anything that has anything to do with belief or faith in Jesus Christ. This child that was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, this child that was in the city, the house of bread, and put into a feeding trough. This bread of life. It is a day, I believe with all my heart, as we see the days approaching. I don't know what's going to happen December 21st according to the end of the Mayan calendar. I do not feel in my heart the world is going to come to an end. Even the Mayans are being asked. He said, no, we're not concerned about that. What will happen. The Mayan people in Mexico. But one day the world will be rolled up like a scroll. And just as sure as that door of that ark was shut behind Noah and eight people that were saved at that time, and those animals, God shut the door. God is also going to end time for people to use their free will to make a choice to follow Him or not. There will be a time when it will be over, over, over. There won't be any other judges to save or appeal. We have appellate courts today. You won't be able to appeal. That will be it. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to cry out to God. And as Christians, like I said, we might mess up at times. God loves us. We want to do it His way. We go back to Him and say, God, forgive me. I'm going to be more diligent to be careful to hear Your voice than shun You.
And after that thing about Peter, after the rooster crowed, he was never the same person after that. In fact, it was Peter that we understand. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord. Crucify me upside down. And he was martyred. Crucify me upside down. Can you imagine? But Peter was never the same after that day that he denied the Lord. Have you ever felt you cut the Lord short? You just kind of denied him in a moment? How does it make you feel? It makes me feel rotten. If I have an argument with Shirley, it makes me feel rotten. You know, and when it was me, it was the catalyst. Makes me feel rotten. I'm to love her as Christ loved the church. But there's an old man that has to die. And we read last week, Paul said, I die daily. You've got to get up on that sacrificial altar and not crawl off. Stay there. Praise the Lord. I'm grateful today that Jesus, around the world, we're approaching a time when the world celebrates the birth of Christ on December 25th. And I want to say to you, December 25th can in itself be idolatry to a person who believes he was born on December 21st. We don't know when he was born, but we want to thank God that he was born. And let the world know, yes, Jesus Christ was born. December 25th opens up doors for that. Shout it from the rooftops. Jesus Christ is born, you know, as Savior of the world. We don't know the day. The Bible doesn't say the day. Every day, to me, you can reflect upon the birth of Jesus Christ. Every single day. Do not make December 25th a day of an idolatrous day that you know there's something special about that day over any other day. There is something special about the day he was born. That is awesome. That is God's power and God's love to send Christ into the world. But we don't idolize December the 25th. We idolize Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? I think you understand what I'm saying. So we idolize Jesus. We don't idolize December 25th. As a child, I did. I laid up underneath the Christmas tree. I went upstairs as early as I could go to bed to wait for Santa Claus to bring all those presents. It was exciting. It was surreal. It was magical. I was in love with Christmas, not Jesus. And as a child, you probably understand that. We wanted snow. We wanted food and turkeys and cookies and brownies and everything else that goes along with that. I was in love with Christmas, the day, not Jesus, the Savior. Can you celebrate Jesus December 25th? Can you have a wonderful time with Jesus December 25th with your family? Can you exchange presents and not? Yes, yes, yes. But keep Jesus Christ at the center of what's going on. Do not idolize the day 25th. Well, where are you going to be the 26th? Where's Jesus the 26th? Where's Jesus the 24th? Is he in your life? Is he real? And by the way, he was born and he was crucified and he did resurrect for you and me. That's the rest of the story. I hope you have gained something out of our sharing today to a degree. I'm sharing with you from my heart. We share scriptures, but I'm groping to hear God in this, not Mark in this, because I don't care about me. I don't matter. God does. Jesus does. I don't. And so it doesn't matter whether I'm standing behind this new acrylic podium or if I'm standing out here or if I just got through changing oil and I got oil on my arms and my face. I can still speak truth. I can still speak Jesus wherever I am, wherever I go. And so it's not the church building. It's not about the accoutrements. It's not about those things. It's about Jesus. And so may we become more involved and more in love with Jesus than ever before and invite him into our heart, Christ's home, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. For those of you that may be listening today, maybe you got something out of it. I hope so. I hope you realize that Jesus is the bread of life. He was placed there in the house of bread in Bethlehem by God, arranged thousands, hundreds of years before. And the prophets tell us that. And he was also placed in a feeding trough for you, if you have not partaken of him, eat of Jesus and live, or not and die, or like perhaps the group that the song that I read to you about the blood, sweat, and tears. He wants to wait until he dies and see what's happened. So, pretty sad situation. And some of those guys today may be dead, I don't know, and did find out what death brought for them. But don't you make that mistake. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. In Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no other. There is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given to men by which we must be saved. It's all false. All of the other gods of this world, Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius and all the Taoist philosophies and other worldviews, other than Jesus Christ and the Bible that we preach, they'll lead you to death. Eat of Jesus and live. God bless you.